Hello. This morning, I feel the urge to talk about the extremely sad story of baby Charlie Gard. I'm sure you're aware of the case. It's all over the news, whether the printed, the audio, or the visual. This is a situation that can, at best, never be hoped for, and at worst, never to have to confront. I have been reluctant to discuss it for some weeks now, because I was awaiting the judgments and the negotiations that were either pending or ongoing. I feel the case is coming to some conclusion in the not-too-distant future now. For those of my kind listeners who may not appreciate the intricacies of the situation or the nature of the disease, let me try to summarize. Charlie was born on the 4th of August 2016 to Connie Yates and Chris Gard. He appeared to be a bonny baby for a few weeks, but then started to show signs of illness, become sick, choking frequently, and eventually had to be put under life support, which meant feeding through a tube direct to the stomach, a mechanical ventilator, and of course, keeping the body temperature within normal and the skin not breaking down, especially on the parts of the body he lies on. It turned out that baby Gard had a genetic condition whereby his body powerhouse, so to speak, was not functioning at cellular level, that is, the level of each of the body cells. This is because of failure of the so-called mitochondria elements of the DNA. The result is that he cannot hear, cannot see, and cannot produce the usual voice of a baby, and indeed cannot even move. Of course, this is a very rare condition, so rare that only about 15 babies were diagnosed from all over the world up to now. This rarity is causing a great difficulty because the medical sciences are not able to study cases well enough and to see what can be done if there is only the odd case that can appear every few years and in different parts of the world. There can never be the opportunity for the medical and pharmaceutical centers to develop treatments, especially that such babies will die soon unless they are under excellent and very elaborate medical care, as the case of baby Gard has proved. And this is the dilemma that the parents and the medical and judicial authorities are facing. It's precisely because he was kept alive for nearly a year now that the expertise of what is arguably the best, or at least one of the best children's hospital in the world. The more he lived, the greater the hopes of his parents to seek any possible treatment, regardless of where it comes from. And who would blame them? And who would blame the extremely generous philanthropist who donated so much money as to make up the £1.3 million or so required to get some allegedly modern treatment available in one or two centers in the world? But now comes the next problem. The doctors in Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital, having scanned the world literature for such alleged treatments from all over the world, came to the conclusion that these are not really valid and have absolutely no scientific validity or credible results, and that therefore the best care for baby Gard is to allow him to fade away peacefully by shutting off the life support. Moreover, the medical team are sure that the baby is suffering because of pain and cannot show this suffering because he is unable even to cry. The parents, however, are not convinced. This is an extremely difficult situation. But let me give you some other example that can possibly throw some light on how baby Gard might feel. In some cases where a surgical operation is undertaken under full general anaesthetic, The patient is given injections to paralyze the muscles of the body to make it easier for the surgeon and safer for the patient. In addition, the patient is given other injections for pain relief that adds to the comfort of that patient when he or she is put to sleep. Now, in some very rare cases, the pain relief and the anesthesia may not have been given in adequate doses by the anesthetist. The patient may therefore feel the pain, but is unable to scream or even to move because his muscles are out of action. The only proof that he felt the pain is when, after recovery from the anesthetic, the patient recalls all the team's conversation he heard during the operation, proof that he was awake or semi-awake, and he also describes the pain he felt. This, in fact, may be the case with BabyGuard, and this is what's worrying the medical team, especially that there appears to be no valid treatment available. The parents, on the other hand, have their hopes maintained by the popular sympathy and the intervention of such larger-than-life personalities as Pope Francis and President Donald Trump, and, of course, the availability of the money. The courts are not convinced, so we await the final judgment soon. Now, as a doctor and a surgeon, I had faced similar dilemmas myself. But fortunately, I never witnessed cases going from one court to the other as BabyGuard has gone. If I would hazard an opinion, I would say that parents' emotions are very understandable. But I also think BabyGuard, if he were in a position to express his feelings, would surely demand the cessation of his life support. I can only hope that the treatment that is supposed to be available, but with the flimsiest of credibility, will be developed in the near future, so that any case discovered in the future would be given that treatment early on to prove its worth or otherwise. Some illnesses cannot be cured. We know that. And so I shall end by giving a Baha'i opinion, and that is that BabyGuard will be assured a most elevated place in the afterlife, because God is just, and BabyGuard did not even have any opportunity to be in any way sinful. His recompense in the spiritual world will be really great. So let us pray for him and for his soul should he die, when still in such an innocent soul. And let us pray for the parents and for the medical team. Finally, let us also pray for the judges, so that God would guide them to the best decisions in this extremely difficult case. Goodbye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.